With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Napa Know-How.
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
Asa Turner and Daniel Haimuli, how these guys fit in, and for the fans out there that have not seen them play, talk about who they are.
Yeah. First of all, it's Asa Turner.
Sorry.
Not Asa.
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
Wow, you think that was bad. Christian Capel, when he first showed up on campus, referred to him as Asa Turner on the radio show. So, you know, you think I can't pronounce guys' names. Man, wait till you hear this guy. Oh, he's all over the place. Christian Capel, I'm kidding, by the way, from The Athletic, is with us on the program. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Did you thaw out after today, watching practice?
I did. You know, today wasn't too bad. The sun was out, and up on the top of those bleachers there, if as long as the wind isn't whipping too bad through there, it's not too bad. The jacket came off at the start. I was thinking we were good for the day. I had to put it back on about halfway through, but we made it.
So we're 4 practices into this. What's your impression?
I mean, I think they got a lot of work to do offensively. I think I expected them to be maybe a little bit further along on that side of the ball just because of, you know, how much they brought back and starting quarterback coming back and everything. But, you know, receiver, they're repping a lot of guys who haven't played much football. I think that's shown up, you know. Terrell Bynum's made some plays that you kind of expect. But I think everybody else is still kind of trying to figure things out a little. Like the secondary has something to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, Trent McDuffie and Kyler Gordon as the starting corners are just not given anything. You know, I think that group looks really solid. You're still trying to figure out what the best combination is at safety and at nickel, trying to a couple different guys. But the pass rush has been really consistent and really good. You know, Zion Tupuola-Fatui looks like he's prepared to take the next step. I mean, he bursts onto the scene, and, you know, you look at what he did in 4 games last year. It's easy to kind of take for granted that he's going to be a dude, but that was a really small sample size, and, you know, I was kind of curious see what he looked like coming out, and he's been wreaking all kinds of havoc. So I think defensively, that group looks like it's going to be really competitive, really fast and physical. And, you know, I think they kind of took personally that last year they didn't stop the run and defend the run very well. Jury's still out on that because they're not tackling. So we'll see how that goes when it's actually live and the running backs can run through some stuff. But yeah, that's kind of where I see it through 4 practices. I think the main takeaway is you'd like to see the receivers take a step.
Yeah. Well, there's about 7 things to respond to right there. You know, a great guest makes things easy for the host, and you make things very easy for us. So let's start with the wide receivers because Hugh's got some concerns there as well. But let me ask you, Giles Jackson, Jalen Polk from Texas Tech, do we know why these kids are leaving? I mean, clearly they feel like they can play here, which is why they're coming to UW, but should there be any red flags about why they left Lubbock and Ann Arbor to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always kind of do your research. I think every coach is going to kind of be able to talk themselves into the idea that, well, it might not have worked for them there, but, you know, we're the staff that can get it out of them, right? We can make it work. This is maybe a better fit for them. Or with Giles Jackson, you know, I heard maybe some, you know, it was as simple as some depth chart stuff at Michigan. Maybe he didn't think he was going to get the snaps there, or, you know, I'm not quite sure how that materialized. But I think on Washington's roster, he's going to give them something that they don't have. I mean, that really quick speed guy who you can hit on the fly sweeps. And, you know, obviously you've seen what he can do in the kick return game. You know, you think about a Chico McClatcher type player when he was healthy, you know, Trey Lowe, who wound up transferring before he ever played, but, you know, that was kind of the position that he was recruited for. Those kind of smaller, shifty, quick guys you can get the ball to on screens and in the slot and those type of things. So I think that he'll fill that role and fill a need for them. Jalen Polk, yeah, it's interesting. A guy catches 20-some passes as a true freshman, you know, for a team that's going to throw the ball. And I think just wanted a new environment, you know, for whatever reason, just wasn't feeling it there. And Washington was lucky that, you know, they had a connection. His teammate at Lufkin High, Caleb Berry, signed with them in the 2021 class. He's already on campus too. So I think that just kind of worked out. I will say, of the newcomers, I do think that Jalen Polk looks the most kind of ready to contribute right now. You know, I think he's very fluid. He gets open. He's made some tough catches in traffic. Made a catch on their with the second team offense on their touchdown drive today. Had another one, I think, at the open practice on Saturday over the middle, and you know, had to kind of grab it out of the air between a couple defenders. So I think he's off to a pretty good start.
Christian Capel with us, and Christian, we had Jackson Kirkland on about an hour ago with us, and responding to the question, the difference between Chris Peterson and Jimmy Lake, the first thing out of his mouth, I believe, was just the commitment to more running. What's your sense in talking to the staff? Do you think Jimmy Lake is entirely committed? Does he feel good about the direction that way? Is he in lockstep with John Donovan philosophically in that regard? We hear so much about the Seahawks and, you know, who's going to cook and who's going to, you know, and who's going to mash and all that stuff. But what about the apparent philosophical change? We saw it for maybe 4 weeks this most recent season. We're going to get probably a full dose of it. What about that philosophical change and how the staff feels about it?
Yeah, they're going to run the ball. There's no doubt about it. You know, Jimmy Lake is a defensive head coach. I think that his perspective has been that, you know, his teams, when his defenses have struggled, which, you know, it hasn't been often at Washington, but it's against teams that can run the ball even when they know it's coming, and teams that can do whatever they want at the line of scrimmage based on the defensive alignment. You know, everybody knows what he thinks of the air raid and, you know, what he said about Mike Leach and Washington State and how easy it is to stop an opposing offense when, you know what they're going to do with regard to running or passing on every play. He wants every defense they play to be guessing at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, he wants the quarterback to be able to come up and look at the defense and figure out, okay, if we've got a pass called, but here there's a really light box, or, you know, we're seeing what we need to see, a check into the run, he's going to do that. Or if there's a run on and you know, the defense gives him something where he's got a matchup on a receiver or a tight end that he likes, that he can check and do that. So they're always going to run the ball. You know, I think Jimmy Lake's philosophy is very much that it's about a mindset and, you know, establishing sort of that physical presence that, you know, you're going to run the ball when it's advantageous and when you want to, and even if the defense knows it coming, but also, you know, when the look is right. So it's, you know, I don't know that I necessarily expect them to come out with the same run pass distribution that you saw in the four games last year. I think some of that depends on just kind of how they feel about their weapons on the outside. You know, do they think they've got a receiver or two or three who, you know, they need to put the ball in their hands? Cade Otton obviously is going to be one of those guys at tight end. But, yeah, I mean, as long as Jimmy Lake is the head coach, the Huskies are going to run the ball. There's no question.
Well, you mentioned some of those guys coming back, Christian. Christian Capel from The Athletic is with us on the radio show. And the four guys that made the announcement back in December, McGrew, Otten, Kirkland, and Zion Tupeloa-Fatui. Which one of those four, in your mind, is the biggest get of the four that came back?
Well, I would say, I mean, in terms of like what their ceiling is for this year, I would say Zion, although I don't know that it was ever really a question that he was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I just think his potential is so high. And, you know, last year was, like I said, it's such a small sample size. It wasn't seven sacks in four games. He got all seven of those sacks in their first three games. And, you know, if you listen to Jimmy Lake tell it, he should have had a couple more, right? So I'm interested to see just kind of how he responds to teams that are now going to be, you know, circling him on the game plan and getting double teams and then really accounting for him. Maybe you saw some of that in the Stanford game where he was neutralized a little bit. So, you know, what's his response going to be? I think also getting Cade Otton back is huge. I mean, as important as tight ends are going to be in this offense, and you've got one of the best in the country. And, you know, oh, by the way, the guy who led your team in every major receiving stat last year. He was targeted like twice as often as any other receiver, I'm pretty sure, and had almost twice as many catches as the next guy. They threw four touchdown passes and he got three of them. So, you know, that's a ton of returning receiver production from a single tight end. So, I think that's huge too. Obviously Jackson Kirkland is probably their most important offensive lineman. It's a left tackle, but I think that's the deepest position on the team right now. If they lost him, you know, certainly you're better off having him. Very good thing for them that he came back, but there's probably a little bit more depth there to have gotten by if he hadn't come back. So I really think getting ZTF back on the outside, especially with Laiatu having to hang it up, unfortunately, and getting Kadon back, those are, you know, definitely two first-team all-conference type players.
You know, when you talk about competition, it's a little bit dicey because every coach is going to say, hey, every position, there's always competition. Pete Carroll's going to tell you, all positions, there's competition, as if Bobby Wagner or Russell Wilson is going to lose their job, right? With respect to the quarterback position, obviously Dylan comes in, he's the number one guy. You've got the somewhat experienced 18 games under his belt backup. Right now, number two in Patrick O'Brien, and of course, you've got Sam Heward and some walk-ons in behind that. What's your sense in talking to the coaches about just how much it's open? And Jimmy Lake, is it like, hey, this is a clean slate? We just happen to have Dylan in there because he played? Or how much do you sense that, wait a minute, it's really Dylan's got some, you know, he doesn't have cement in it like Russell Wilson, obviously, but he's fairly entrenched. What, along that scale, how do you view the quarterback competition?
I don't believe it's a clean slate like it was last year. I mean, last year was about as open of a competition as I can ever remember, you know, as far as having, I mean, they said four guys, but really three guys who, you know, could conceivably win the job and were kind of starting from scratch. I think it's Dylan Morris's job to lose. Four games is not a lot, but when you're talking about, you know, competing against someone who's new to the program, obviously very experienced in college football, but new to the program, and a true freshman who ran a completely different offensive scheme in high school. I'd be really surprised if Dylan Morris isn't the starting quarterback against Montana. That doesn't mean that he's totally entrenched and, you know, just you can, you know, put it in cement that he's going to be their guy all year long. You know, Sam Heward is very talented. Everybody knows the numbers he put up in high school. If he continues to progress and, you know, shows the ability to maybe create some explosives or get some things done, get the ball to their playmakers in a way that maybe Dylan Morris doesn't, then I think, you know, you look at getting him some snaps. But I think especially in this offense, they put so much on the quarterback, and it's so important for him to be able to diagnose the defense, make the right checks and get them into the right play. I mean, you asked John Donovan and Jimmy Lake, what did Dylan Morris really do well last year? You know, where did he really stand out? And after they say, you know, he took care of the football, he didn't turn the ball over, they talk about getting the team in and out of the right plays. And, you know, he ran a similar offense in high school. This offense isn't totally dissimilar to what they did under Chris Peterson, right? It was mostly pro style stuff. So now here he is. It's his third year in college. He's played a little bit of college football. He knows the offense. He knows what it looks like in a game setting. And, you know, you're asking a high school freshman who ran the air raid to come in and learn it as well as him and get things done as well as him. I just think that's going to be a really tall task. You know, only somebody as talented as Sam Heward is probably capable of taking care of that and then maybe really putting some pressure on him and unseating him. But I would be surprised if Dylan Morris is not their starting quarterback this year.
Yeah, Christian Capel with us from The Athletic. Follow him for free on Twitter, by the way, at Christian Capel. I'm going back to like 2011, and if there's a name or two I'm missing here, let me know. But Huskies went from Chris Polk to Bishop Sankey. I think kind of had a year off with Coleman. And then they went to Gaskin, and then they went to Savon, and then last year was kind of a mixed bag at running back. Is it still a mixed bag, or is there a all Pac-12, first team all Pac-12 running back this year on the roster?
I think it's still going to be relatively by committee. They say that they like that they like they can rotate guys through there. And even when, you know, Miles Gaskin was the starter, they had LaVon Coleman, who they like to use, and you know, they'd usually go, you know, two or three deep as far as just getting guys a couple carries. I think they would like one guy to stand out, though. You know, I think they would prefer for somebody to emerge as just clearly, hey, you know, this guy we can give it to 20 times a game and you know, rely on him to take care of the ball and be productive. I think if there is a guy like that on the roster, it's probably Cam Davis. Haven't, you know, we've seen him in limited action so far. I think he's a tough runner. He finishes runs. He carries tacklers. That's kind of what you're looking for in that number one guy. Probably has the, you know, the most explosiveness of any guy who's played for them so far. JV on Sunday, I will say, a 2020 signee out of Waco, Texas, has stood out these first few practices. You know, he's very physical and willing to mix it up. I don't know if he's a guy who's, you know, going to emerge as a double-digit carry per game guy this year, but if they do have one of those guys on the roster, I think it's Cam Davis. But, you know, I think you're still going to see a lot of Sean McGrew, too. I think those are probably your top two guys right now. And, you know, McGrew's ripped off a couple long runs in practice. His, you know, he's got good vision at the line. He follows his blocks well. You can just tell he's an older guy because he's a lot more decisive at the line of scrimmage right now, it seems. It seems like he knows where he's going and knows how to pick his way a little bit better. So I still think it's going to be by committee and you're going to see a few guys getting carries in there.
And meanwhile, up front offensively, we were lauding earlier in the program the experience of the Huskies and they've got some all-star candidates on that offensive line. And yet I would say that their pass protection has been spotty at best against that number one defense. I suppose that's a real credit and commentary on the number one defense, but maybe there was a period there where there was some better protection today, but I think by and large over the 4 days, it's been a little bit suspect. So I guess we can praise the defense in that regard, but any thoughts about the offensive line coming from the staff?
Yeah, it has not been a clean pocket for quarterbacks, certainly. And I think that's been the case, whether it's the first team or second team out there. The pass rush has just been really, really consistent. The one thing, you know, as you're kind of judging that group and Dylan Morris last year, they gave up one sack in 4 games, and it was, you know, Dylan Morris running out of bounds a couple yards behind the line of scrimmage. He wasn't even tackled. And, you know, that's obviously something Jimmy Lake has liked to point to about how well they played, and certainly that's fair. The one thing I'm waiting to see, both with that offensive line and Dylan Morris, is facing a team with a really elite pass rush, a really strong pass rush. And, you know, maybe it's just the case that there aren't many of those in the Pac-12. You know, usually you think about Utah being that kind of team. But they really didn't see an opponent last year that was just, you know, consistently getting after the quarterback, you know, and then let's grade Dylan Morris on how he handles that rush and how he, you know, how he manages that pressure. I think the early returns are positive, in terms of him being able to create different angles and buy a little bit of time with his feet. I mean, he did that on the, you know, the game winning touchdown pass to Kate Otten against Utah. But, yeah, this is, you know, I think an offensive line that blocked really well for the run last year. They're really big. They're really experienced. They're imposing. You know, they want to have that physical mentality where they can take it to teams. But yeah, I mean, let's see how they secure the edges against, you know, against Oregon, against Kayvon Thibodeau, against some of these teams that are going to have really good edge rushers. Because you're right, you know, Zion Tupuola-Fatui has kind of lived in the backfield so far through these first four practices.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how much this is because of who they're going up against in practice. If the secondary is as good as people think it is, and the defensive line is as good as people think it is, they may be causing a lot of problems on their own for this defense, or excuse me, for this offense. And, you know, for example, man, Christian, before you go, I mean, you know, every year it kind of seems like the question of, well, is this the year the secondary falls off? Is this the year the secondary falls off? You go from the Buddha, Kevin King, Sidney Jones group to the Byron Murphy, Jordan Miller group to Elijah Molden and Keith Taylor, and now it's McDuffie and Kyler Gordon. I mean, is this just more of the same in your mind?
I don't know that you can quite say it's to the level of, you know, that the 2016, 17, and 18 was, you know, pretty much elite, right? I mean, you'd put those groups up against pretty much anybody in college football those seasons. I don't know that you quite say that about this group yet. I think they always have that potential. I mean, you look at the way that they've recruited and you know, which programs wanted a lot of these guys. Trent McDuffie falls in that category. Kyler Gordon falls in that category. Asa Turner, Julius Erving does. You know, obviously, Bookie Radley Hiles played, you know, was a starter as a true freshman at Oklahoma. So they got a bunch of guys who they've felt really good about. I think safety is the biggest question mark. You know, they've moved Dom Hampton back there, which makes a lot of sense. He's 6'2 and 225. And, you know, I think they're hoping he's going to be that really physical thumper on the back end, that kind of, you know, intimidator. Probably a little too early to say that, you know, whether he's going to fill that role the way they want. I think he's looked pretty good so far. He's blown up a couple of passes close to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, he plays with that mindset. He wants to hit people and be really tough. Yeah, I think he would have been an interesting, you know, physical kind of lockdown cornerback type too. And that's a position they had him play in his first couple seasons. But, you know, whether it's him back there with Asa Turner, you know, I think you're kind of waiting for him to take that next step. Is it going to be Julius Erving? Is, you know, another guy that they've really liked coming out of high school and, he's kind of was held back by injuries, just hasn't really had a chance to make an impact. You know, is he going to play his way into the starting lineup? Alex Cook saw some action there last year, and Cam Williams kind of subbed in for him. And, you know, he's another guy, started as a true freshman, right? Got benched a little bit and ended up splitting reps. So that, I think you feel really good about what they've got at corner. But there's a lot of guys at safety that haven't proven it yet. This could be the year where, you know, a couple of those guys step up and you say, okay, they've got a really solid four or five that, you know, you can feel really good about and you can put up against those 2017, 2018 groups. But, yeah, I think you need to see it, especially on the back end.
First of all, it's Asa Turner, not Asa.
Christian, you're the man. Great stuff. You can get Christian's stuff at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Christian Capel. Appreciate this, and we'll see you later in a week, pal.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're the man.
Thanks, Christian
Capel with us. Great stuff from him. A couple things I want to knock out before 7 o'clock tonight, including, was that the worst Masters ever that we saw conclude yesterday? Coming up on Softy and Dick, you in for Dick on 950K.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.